Today with Joseph Prince.
Why I want people saved? Why I want people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's the greatest success, there's the greatest prosperity to be set right with God. Hallelujah.
Pain, a negative doctor's report, anxieties, and even depression. You or someone you love may be facing one of these common enemies right now. But here's wonderful news. Healing doesn't have to be hard.
God designed the communion to bring healing to your body. That is why I want to send you this easy-to-read resource completely free. It will encourage you, recharge your faith, and be a great blessing to you.
In his breakthrough book, Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion, you can receive the reality that the Holy Communion is far more than a ritual.
We have received many praise reports from believers around the world who have experienced the healing power of the communion. I really want that for you too. Make sure you request this resource today.
Call or click right now to request your free copy of Pastor Prince's Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion.
The enemy was always there behind my shoulder saying, "You messed up again. How can you be, you know, living up to God's expectations and standards?"
I was always feeling condemned. I never was seeing in my life the things that the Bible actually talked about.
And what really set me free, or at least in the right path, is believing that, you know what, doesn't matter how many times you mess up, I'm still going to love you. And that inspiration, that power of grace, really provided me the opportunity to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
When I heard Joseph Prince, I just began to know that this was a missing link. This was the key. I had found it. And every time I hear him, I just get freer and freer and freer.
If the gospel of grace has impacted your life, I would like to invite you to join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. Let's advance the gospel of grace together. Visit the link on your screen to be part of living a legacy of grace today.
Listen carefully. The Bible teaches honor for people, like in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul taught the believers, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Amen. The government at that time. And at that time, the government was the Romans. Imagine, the Roman rule is not exactly, they subjugate the nation. The nation is under them. And it's done illegally. They conquered that nation. Yet after they settled down, Paul says, submit to them. Render to Caesar, Jesus said, about taxation. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and give to God the things that are God's. Amen. Do you remember they tried to trap him by saying, shall we pay taxes to Caesar? And he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Amen. So we live in a dual citizenship. We are citizens of Singapore in the flesh, right? But in the spirit, we are citizens of heaven. The Bible tells us that. Amen? And some people say, you Christians are too heavenly-minded to be earthly good. Let me tell you this. We need more Christians who are heavenly-minded so that they can be of earthly good. Amen. You know, I'm telling you this. The land that you come from, the resources that you have, is the means by which you can bless the country that you're in. If you are sent as an ambassador to a country, you don't live off the riches of that country. You don't live off the resources of that country. The country can be poor, but you can be well supplied. Because you are not sponsored by that country. You are sponsored by the country that sends you. Amen. Amen. And you are there to do good. Amen. Supposed to. Amen. But the doing good is authorized not by the country that you're in, but by the country that authorized you, that sent you. Can I have a good amen? Amen. So knowing that, we go into a world that is crying, sighing, dying, you know, sick, lonely, and we bring the supply of heaven. Amen. And that's why Jesus says things like when he appears on the scene, he says, the kingdom of God is here, and the sick are healed, the blind see, the dumb speak, and those who are lame jump up for joy, leaping and praising God. Amen. The kingdom of God is here. So Jesus, his feet was planted in Galilee or in Jerusalem at that time when he said that, but he's in heaven. Wherever he is, heaven is there. And if you have Christ and you all have Christ, heaven is all around you. Amen? So let's bring this heaven and bless our nation. And it starts with our words. Amen. Let's not contribute to all the talk that is poisonous, bitter. At the end, when you drink bitter, remember this, right? If the poison is affecting you, not them. Always remember that. Always remember when you're bitter towards someone, you poison yourself. Right? The greatest revenge is forgive the person that you're bitter with. And then live your life. Amen. Live the abundant life. Amen. Amen? Maybe one of these days I'll share about one of the parables Jesus shared about a man who was forgiven much by the king because he pled for the king because the king was supposed to sell. In fact, I'll just tell you right now, in Matthew 18, Jesus shares a parable that has always sort of puzzled me. I'll tell you why, which part puzzles me. And it frightens me as well, in a good sense. And it's something that I live with. Jesus shared that there was a man that owed, the figure was a lot, like 10 million to a king, right? So when reckoning day came, he had no money to pay. So the king says, everything that you have will be sold. Your spouse, your children will all be sold as slaves to pay off the money. He says, please give me time, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And you know, it's impossible. Even given time, he will not be able to pay all. So what he did was that he pled with the king. And the Bible says the king was moved with compassion. Say compassion. It wasn't because of anything in that man. It was what was in him. Amen? The king said, you know what? Forget it. I loose you from your debt. I forgive you. To lose someone from their debt that they're supposed to pay you, that is forgiveness. If you make them pay, that's not forgiveness. Now, this guy has been forgiven what? $10 million debt. Again, this parable is a parable that Jesus himself shared, found in Matthew 18. Now, this guy goes out. You know what he does? Instead of celebrating with his friends or his family that he's been forgiven much, he went to find someone who owed him $1,000. And he grabbed the man and said, pay me what you owe. And the man said the very same thing that he said to the king earlier. Have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And you know what? He says, no way. He threw the guy into the dungeon. Now, when word of this came to the king heard about it. Because there were men there, they were very sorry and they knew what happened to him. He's been forgiven much. They told the king about it and the king summoned him. And this is what the king said. I forgave you all that debt because you asked me to. I had compassion on you, the king said. Should you not have compassion on your fellow man and forgave him? Now, this is the part that puzzles me. Even until today, I will tell you this. I believe God is a good God. I believe God does not send sickness. God does not send disease. Jesus looked at the people of his day and he says, the king said to all his men, deliver this man to the tormentors. You can read it at your own leisure. Deliver him to the tormentors. Tormentors. You know what the tormentors are? Today, tormentors can be cancer, can be mental depression issues and things that torment. These are tormentors. It's not good to be delivered to the tormentors. Am I right? Now, you can look at the king and say, oh, it's just an illustration. And in some parts, the king is like Jesus, like God, but some parts, he's not like God. But then Jesus turned to them. You know what he said? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you if you from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, we know that God doesn't send. Okay? God doesn't send, but God can just lift up his hand. And we are in the hands of the tormentors. Are you listening? Now, I did not say every sickness, every mental issues is because of unforgiveness. But when I learned that many years ago as a teenager, it's one of the things that back then frightened me. Back then, I thought God did it directly. You know what I did? I always try to forgive as much as I can. Anytime I get angry, I can be driving down the road, get angry just for a while with someone, and I make sure that in Jesus' name, Father, I forgive that person. I don't want any trace of bitterness in my heart. Now, other people bitter towards me, right? I may not know, but I cannot be bitter towards them. So every time I endeavor, right, to make sure that in my heart, when I say something about someone, you know, I'm not bitter. Because this, when I see that parable and spoken by the lips of God's beloved, God's Son, who told us, love one another as I have loved you. You know, it's something about grace. You are forgiven much. How can you not forgive someone? Something so little? Amen. You know, we have this attitude. We judge others, but we don't judge ourselves for the same thing. And sometimes I find myself when I talk or criticize someone, and you know, there's a little voice that says that you're no better. Then I'm humbled straight away. So it's like, you know, and there's a principle in life. You know, this under, by the way, is under the area, like I said before, God can allow things to happen. There's famine. Famine. Literal famine coming on the earth. You know, so there are many places that you know, it's just dry beyond the time that usually is a dry period every year, but it's gone on and on now, which means in the future there can be a food shortage. Amen. I told you before that which was the time of the Genesis, right, is that which will be. And then we need a Joseph. And we have him, a heavenly Joseph, our Lord Jesus. And through his wisdom, he will also bless Egypt, the world. And most of all, bless his family. Amen, his brothers and his father, Israel. I believe we are coming to that time. I believe God is raising the Benjamin generation, his youngest brother. Amen? Amen. Are y'all with me so far? Praise the Lord. You see, the story of Joseph, once again, all right, I want to say that we are now seeing the story of Joseph taking place. The 7 years of plenty, everyone enjoyed it and thinking that it will never end. All right? It's almost like we are stepping into the 7 years of famine. And yesterday, I felt that the Lord said to me, all right, at the end of the years of plenty, I was reading this verse, and I told you to be alert with the verse that jumps out at you. I was reading this verse, and this verse says, and Pharaoh said, open up the storehouse. And whatever, he told the Egyptians, whatever Joseph tells you, do it. We're in the place where whatever the Lord tells us, do it. Amen? Remember Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus, when there was no water and no wine in the wedding, no more wine. They ran out of wine. It's embarrassing for the bride and groom, amen, for wine to run out. And she went to Jesus, right? What did Jesus say? Now, of course, he said his time has not yet come. Actually, that tells us it wasn't time to do his miracle, right? But he did it for the couple. And he says this, the mother said this to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Do it. Some fishermen were by the by the Sea of Galilee, and they are experienced fishermen. Maybe perhaps right now you are facing a time where whatever you're doing is not working anymore in your work life or in your profession or wherever you are in your studies. It's like, you know, it's like not producing. It's always having comes up empty. If you're in that place, you're like the disciples toiling all night, catching nothing. Experience. They know where to be at. They know the seasons of that year, all right? And they know where the best fishes. I mean, it's not a big lake, actually. You think about it compared to the Lake Geneva and all that. And yet, all night, they caught nothing. And Jesus came on the scene. Jesus says, cast your net on the right side. Does it matter if all night they catch nothing? You cast on the right side, left side. But because Jesus said it, they did it. Whatever he says to you, do it. And in the wedding, the water turned to wine. And over here, they caught so much fish that John was the first one, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He practiced Jesus' love for him always. And he says, so when you practice Jesus' love for you, you are the one with a quick discernment. And he says, it is the Lord. Then Peter jumped into the water to go to Jesus. Amen? You see, You see the priority? Jesus first, not the fishes, not the profitability in your company. Amen? But was there profitability? Was there success, earthly success? There was. Jesus didn't come by and say, guys, y'all didn't catch anything? No. Good. Now y'all learned the lesson, right? Sometimes, you know, you go through emptiness. No, they all knew. You know, the Jewish people back then, the Bible is very clear. They know what is blessing. They know what is not blessing. When God says, I will bless your grain, wine, and oil, they knew that was blessing. Today we preach that, they will say, prosperity gospel. When God blesses your grain, wine, and oil. Now, I'm against, like I said, materialism and loving money. But I think the truth is somewhere in between where people need to know that God wants to supply them. Yeah. Amen. And supply them with more than enough so that they can be a blessing. Oh, amen. Amen. I don't believe in people that talk about giving to them and then or give to me and then God will multiply things to you. I mean, this is a big, you know, these are the things that turn people off. But don't throw away the baby with the dirty bathwater. Discern there's a truth. Amen. If you don't believe in prosperity, God prospers his people. It's not a priority. But even in blessing this, Jesus gave them a net. This time around, it didn't break. But a net full of fishes. The Bible says large fishes. And this time, the net didn't break. The first instance, Jesus introduced himself right to the fishermen. The net broke. Because he says, drop down your nets. He wants them to believe big, expect more. He says, Jesus said, let down your nets. Nets is plural. Peter says, I'll let down the net. No wonder it broke. There's more supply than your need. Amen. There is more health and healing than there is sickness. Amen. There is more forgiveness of sins and grace than there is sin in your life. Now, preaching like that, where you put your faith in God and you boast about God and who He is, brings accusation. This is the gospel of grace, where you have more faith in the grace of God than in sin. Amen. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not saying needs don't exist. I'm not saying poverty don't exist. I'm saying we look at God and we look at His supply and His fullness. Amen. I want to see our country. Amen? And our people achieve happiness, prosperity, and progress. Yes. Yes, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And why I want people saved? Why I want people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's the greatest success. There's the greatest prosperity to be set right with God. Hallelujah. And it's, you know, it's time for us to stop fighting within the church and stop looking at YouTube's of pastors or ministers that condemn another minister, and this minister condemning this minister, this guy look at his teachings and all that, and the world is watching. Come on. Stop giving them hits. Yeah. You see that kind of thing? Don't tune in. Yes. Don't be part of that. Jesus says, this is how a new commandment, not the Ten Commandments, a new commandment, because as I have loved you, a new commandment I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. Amen. By this shall all men know. How shall all men know that you belong to Jesus? That you belong to the one, the altogether lovely one? How will they know? How will that help them to come to know Jesus? By this, loving one another, all men shall know you are my disciples. Amen. Not by you quarreling with each other, showing each other up, bringing each other into YouTube, saying this person's teaching is wrong, this person said that person's teaching is wrong. Many times it's jealous of another pastor in America who has a large congregation. People that are small don't get hit. If you're jealous, say you're jealous. Don't bring your jealousy into the social media and poison everybody. Oh, we are just asking for accountability of doctrine. People must be accountable. Accountable to who? Maybe God revealed to that brother a revelation. You see, my friend, this accountability thing, as long as we believe the basis, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is by grace, through faith, that we are saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the peripherals, whether you believe when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, or you believe, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Or you believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and healing and all that. Or I don't believe that. Or you believe that God supplies, not the extreme teaching of prosperity, okay? But God supplies and God provides with more than enough so that you can be a blessing. But I don't believe that. Don't criticize it. Don't whack it. No, you must submit your doctrine to me. Who submit to who then? If Martin Luther submitted the revelation that God gave him of grace during his time, you know what's the main church at that time? They will not agree with it. There'll be no reformation.
Right.
And even among ourselves, the world today, do the Baptists submit their doctrine to the Anglicans? Do the Anglicans submit their doctrine to the Presbyterian? Do the Presbyterians submit their doctrine to the Methodists? No. Everybody is happy to be in that denomination. As long as we all unite around Christ. We all, it's who you say of Jesus that is important. The peripheral, some people don't believe that you speak in tongues today. Some people even believe, some denominations believe that when you speak in tongues, that is of the devil. This is serious stuff. I don't know what the devil is doing because every time I speak in tongues, I love Jesus more. He's confused. Okay, so never mind. You don't want to speak in tongues? Don't. But I can still love you, right?
Yeah.
We can still have coffee and tea and teh tarik, right?
Yes.
No. Because you don't agree with me, right? You are a heretic. Why is that so? There's no such thing in the Bible as unity of the doctrine. The Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit.
Come on.
We unite around Jesus. Not doctrine. All right? Now, I said, we don't compromise on the core issue. But the peripherals. Right? To me, the peripherals are just as important, what I believe. I believe that unless people know that Jesus heals today, they cannot receive that healing. Right? Is it interesting? You know, at churches that believe that Jesus saves, people get saved. Some churches believe Jesus saves and Jesus heals, people get saved and they get healed. Amen? Places that preaches Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and he baptizes in the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing, you have that manifestation. Isn't it interesting? It's only when you preach it, people believe it. And when they believe it, they are able to have the capacity to receive it. I'm tempted to step down. Someone says, when you step down, you look short, Pastor. You know what happened? On the screen, right? In America, I've been to America, and they always tell me, you look taller than you really are. Everywhere I go, you know, it's more than one time I've heard this. You are taller than you really are. Amen? Then I was thinking, phenomenal, why is that so? Then one day I was looking at my screen, right? Then I realized when I stepped down here, the pulpit is very tall. Hobbit number two. From the Shire. From the what? Shire. Anyway, let us love one another.
Amen.
And you know what? You know how to change a nation? From inside out. Any nation of the world. Amen? You want to see excellence. Amen? You want to see the progress. Then don't do the things that destroyed Rome. Don't do the things that destroy all the other cultures. Amen? Righteousness exalts a nation.
Amen.
But how do you get that? How do you get that? You preach the gospel. The gospel changes people from the inside out. Amen. Don't shout, you know, this law, that law, this legislation. Since when laws and legislation can change the heart? I'm talking about changing from the inside out. I'm talking about change of heart. You can change outside, but you don't change inside. You cannot help it because you are in a country where there's a certain kind of law. You have to obey it, right? But are you changed inside? Do you believe it? No. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can transform a man inside out.
Amen.
So you know what? We're not preaching the gospel. That's our fault. We're not sharing the good news with people. We are like lepers. In the Old Testament, the lepers, there was a group of lepers outside, you know, in Samaria. And they were sitting down there, and already a miracle happened. A man of God, a prophet, already prophesied All right, the man of God prophesied it's going to happen. Elisha prophesied that there'll be supply the next day. But the king of Israel and all his men were like besieged by the enemies. You know, it's a siege. They lay a siege for a long time until your food supply is cut off, everything cut off, your food is gone. And the women are eating their own children. It's horrible. But the prophet of God gave a word. And that happened because that king of Israel worshiped another God. Instead of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who love him. Right? Idolatry will always cause that kind of problem to happen. And then, when he turned his heart, the prophet released the word. The supply will come. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Remember Annie, the song? Tomorrow, tomorrow. The supply will happen tomorrow. And you know what? There's one guy who was near the king said, you know what? If God make windows of heaven, this one can never be. And Elisha says, you will see it, but you won't eat it. So at the same time, outside the enemy's camp, there were some lepers not too far away. And the lepers were also starving. So the leper said, why not we all get up? Why sit here till we die? Good reasoning. Why sit here till we die? All right? They got up and they went into the enemy's camp because they said that maybe they'll show us mercy. All right? Israel's camp, we cannot go in because we are lepers, but these people, all right, maybe they'll show us mercy. So as they walked to the camp, all the enemies fled in the presence of lepers. God was just waiting for one Israeli to step out. And as you step out, the angels drive them away. God was waiting for someone to make a move. And the lepers actually made a move without knowing they made a move. They were just throwing them. Why sit here till we die? We sit here, we sure die. We go down there. If they want to kill us, we die also. What? But at least maybe they might show us mercy. And in the moment they take one step, all the enemies were routed. Amen. God sent his angel. They were routed. They fled, leaving all the provisions, all the supply, all the gold, all the silver, all the food. And the lepers ate and ate and ate and gorged themselves full. And as they were sitting down, talking to one another, they said that, hey, maybe it's not a good thing we are doing it. One leper said to another, because we are gorging ourselves full and Israel is suffering famine. I'm afraid, you know, that if we keep on doing this and not share the good news, if we don't share the good news, if we don't share the good news, the gospel, right? I fear that mischief will happen to us. Something bad will happen to us. So they went and told Israel. All right, outside they shouted, the enemies have gone. They thought it was a ruse of the enemy, but no. They sent a messenger, they found it's true, they all ran out. You got a supply. The good news. We have to share the good news. There's much more. The world out there is starving, crying, sighing for Jesus, and they don't even know it. Amen. And whatever it is, the transformation happens in their lives, in their families. I don't care how bad you think your husband is. If he's not saved, he needs the gospel. And when love is shed abroad in his heart, I'm telling you, I know stories where a child can tell you, I have a new father. I have a new father. I've heard it. I have a new father. And the father wasn't a believer. Always raise his voice, gets drunk and all that. When he received Jesus, a little child himself said, I have a new father. A father that's not drunk anymore, but the transformation happened inside out. I've heard of a wife whose husband received the gospel of Jesus Christ. God saved, the wife is saved, of course. And it was under my teaching, right, that the husband received that gospel. You know what the wife said? The wife said to my wife, I have a new husband. I have a new husband with almost tears of joy. I have a new husband. The gospel changes people. If people are not changed, I doubt they are really hearing the gospel. They're probably trusting their own works. Aren't you glad? Amen. Pastor, start preaching. Yeah, I'm preaching already. These things will help you. Amen? So, which church you attend is important. Yep. Because you cannot rise above the preaching. If you go to a place where, you know, they say that healing is done, or God can still heal. I'm not saying God cannot heal. God can heal, but God may not heal, okay? Sometimes God gives you sickness and all that. Then if you really believe God gives you sickness, you should not go to the doctor. You should not. Actually, doctors are on God's side. Amen. It's part of the natural provisions. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So, doctors are helping us fight the same problem, same enemy, disease. Amen? 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 It doesn't mean lack of faith when you go to the doctor. Let's all find if someone is sick. Man, I'm telling you, let's believe God and seek medical help as well. Many a times the Lord will use a surgery to remove, because we don't talk about faith or whatever. We are all at different levels of faith. We can also believe that God can use surgery, right? That God can give wisdom to the doctor. His hand can be directed by the Lord. Amen? But it's vital you believe the right thing. If you just open up and say, oh, maybe God will heal, God doesn't heal. Now, usually God doesn't heal. Not that God doesn't heal. He has done everything he can about healing. What do you mean, Pastor Prince? He's done all he can when he sent Jesus Christ and he died on the cross. When Jesus took the scourge on his back, the Bible used the past tense, with his stripes we are healed. It's a matter of you receiving it. Don't wait on God. God is waiting on you. And unless we preach it, how can people have faith? How shall they hear without a preacher? For faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Amen. Today's, I look at the people today, they are hearing so much of the wrong things, a lot of nonsense on social media. It's the first thing they look at, and you know, it's designed in such a way to capture your attention, short attention span, right? And people have become short, you know, they become very short, no? Their memory, short-term memory, become very, almost like ADD. They don't have that problem, but they have that problem now. This church is amazing. They can listen to a 45-minute sermon. Yours worse, huh? During your time, it was 1.5 hours. You know, I'm talking to Deacon Matthew, all right? His time was 1.5 hours. And after that, fellowship some more, and some more preaching. You know, I've trained the church. You look at a guy, his muscles so big, right? You cannot start there. You're going to start there. I mean, Pastor Lawrence has gone to the gym. Amen? So we buy online. Amen? And put the muscles there. No, I don't do that. Okay? But his is real. But he worked for it. He used it. So someone's faith is stronger. Why? He keep on using it. He uses it. He uses it. The Bible says your faith grows exceedingly. You can have a good amen. So it's important, church, that you believe the right thing. Amen? Now, I said before, I'm not into the prosperity. Every sermon, prosperity. Every sermon, and the prosperity is not about spirit, soul, and body, you know. All right? As well as finances, of course. But it's just about finances. That kind of thing, I run from. If it's always about money, I run from. That is what I'm not for. But that is giving a bad name to the truth. The truth is that God promises all throughout His Word, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack or I shall lack. Some of you are not sure, see? Come on, this is New Creation Church. What have you done with the church, Pastor Lawrence, since you preached the last time? Amen, one more time. I'll give you one more chance. All right, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall always lack. Huh? What does the Bible say? Oh, you prosperity people? But whenever there's judgment in Israel, God says, I'll withhold the rain. In Singapore, it's been raining, you know. God says, I'll withhold the rain, and this judgment, and there'll be no produce that year. No grain, no wine, no oil. Some people rejoice. Oh, yes. We are being trained. No, it's a judgment. So, now I want to share something that God wants you all to learn and know. There's a phrase that the Jewish people, and it's very exclusive among them, they even use it in the Old Testament. Now say this after me. Chesed ve'amet. Say chesed ve'amet. Anyone knows what's chesed? Oh, love this church. One more time. What is chesed? Okay, we spell it H-E-S-E-D. Chesed. What is it? Very good. You know, in Israel today, they use the New Testament, believers, Jewish believers, they use the New Testament by Delitzsch, a foremost Hebrew scholar who is a Jew himself, and they use it. But you know, when we use our New Testament, it's from the Greek, right? So in the Greek, grace is charis, charis. So your name is charis, it means grace. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit is charismatas, right? Charismas, charismata. That's where the word charisma comes from, a gift, a person who is gifted. So the gifts are there. Everyone has a gift from the Lord. Amen? But what grace does is that grace abounds on you. Amen? Look at this. Look at the fullness of this verse. And God is able to make... Actually, it's not able to. Able to is future tense. Actually, the word down there is present tense. Right now, God is... And the word dynamite is from the word dunamis, dynamite. God is now powering up to you. All grace. You know that verse, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. All right, now break it down. It's telling you in the present tense, it's start of present tense. God is now dynamiting, powering. What? How much? All, stop there. How much? All grace, right now. If I don't preach it, you don't see it, it'll come, it passes by you. God is right now powering, dynamiting, all, how much? All grace. In the Amplified, even puts down there every earthly blessing. All grace comes by grace. So God is right now, making all grace, powering, dynamite, able there, it's dynamite. God is now powering, dynamiting, all grace. God is making, your King James says, all grace to what? To what? To abound towards you. Stop there. To abound towards you. Already all grace, and then to abound. This, it was done purposely to look taller for those in America, higher than this. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Chindians can jump. So, we already see, first of all, right now it's happening. All grace is being powered up to you. And then, in what way? It comes to you like just like that? No, abounding. God is able to make all grace to abound towards you. The next line, that you always, stop. How often? Good times, bad times. Regardless of what China does or doesn't do. The Ukraine situation, whatever it is going to affect the economy of the world. It's going to affect the supply of the world. Amen? But there is a God. Towards you, He's making all grace. But Esty, you can put up that verse, Esty. Since I am impressed by the Spirit to touch on this. God is able to make all grace. And is able to is future tense. It's not correct. That's why you look in your King James, it is in italics. It's not there in the original. In the original, right now it's happening. Even right now as I'm preaching, God is powering up all grace towards you. You, Lim Peng San, you, wake up, Dong Peng San, amen, towards you, name yourself under your breath, name yourself, towards you, under your mask, name yourself. God is now powering up all grace, all favor towards you, that you always, good times, bad times, rainy season, non-rainy season, whatever the world economy is, you always having what? As if it's not enough. all sufficiency. I push myself happy. Having all sufficiency. We stop here, we go home, we are happy. But no, it's not. The verse is not finished yet. Is the verse up there? All right, you see the able to? You can, if, in fact, if you look at your King James Bible, it's in italics, right? You can show them the verse in italics, doesn't matter. All right, so it's not able to in the future. It is right now, present tense, in the Greek. He's powering up all grace to abound towards you, that you always, having what? How much? How much? How much? How much? Having what? How much? All sufficiency. Having all sufficiency. Having all sufficiency. Amen. You got a problem. You got a problem with prosperity. You got a problem believing this. You know? And it's not, listen, can it result in even money supply? Yes. But money is a very small thing. Money usually is the result. Amen. But on the other hand, to say that money is not important is wrong. But the Bible says money is the root of all evil. Read your Bible. It says the love of money, not money. And there are people with no money who love money, thinking of money, money, money. All right? Amen. Of course, there are people with money who think of money, but there are also people without money thinking of money. Money, toto, lottery. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's horrible. Don't go after money. Go after the Lord. Yeah. But it's wrong to say it doesn't involve money. But money is just right below the scale. It prosperities, you prosper in your soul. Amen. Once you know your sins are forgiven, you are right with God. That's the greatest prosperity. Then in your mind, there's peace. What a prosperity. Amen. And it's 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. That's outwardly, because later it's talk about soul prosperity. You prosper and be in health. That's your body. Even as your souls prosper. Amen. I'm not going to this side of the ditch. I'm not going on this side of the ditch. I'm glad you are in this church. Amen. At least I am glad, Lord. You're not happy. I'm happy I'm in this church. Amen. Welcome. You're welcome. So don't let people shake you off. Amen? And always ask yourself when you hear, can you sense a bitterness? The poison when they share. Amen. Is there a jealousy? Is there a bitterness? Is there an anger? Repress, but you can sense it. Amen. I really think, you know, when some of these things happen, and some things are true. Some brothers have fallen, all right, openly, some famous brothers, the pastors even and all that. But it's not for Christians to give them the views. Amen. When Noah became drunk in a new world, he didn't know about fermentation and all that. The world back then wasn't the same, but after the world, you know, the world is no more in the same place anymore. The canopy that covers the earth was broken through the flood. Amen. The earth was tilted to congeal the flood waters, became North Pole and South Pole. Instead of 360 days, became 365, slightly more. All right. The earth is tilted. And then the four seasons began. The Bible tells us that. There were no four seasons when it was once upon a time covered by, and the oxygen level was so strong, keeps people healthy. But now it's a new world. He didn't know that grapes will ferment fast. He became drunk. But his son, he has three sons. One of them saw his nakedness and laughed about it and told his brother. His father was drunk and he was naked. So told his brother about it. His other brother, Shem, he took a cloth with the other brother, Japheth, and they back away like this and covered the father. They refuse to look at his nakedness. This is what we should do. With every person who, you know, of honor, in a position of honor, if they fall, it's not for us to propagate it. Amen. For us to go backwards and let the Lord handle it. But when Noah woke up and Noah realized what the other son did, Noah cursed the son and says, cursed be Canaan. And Canaan was cursed. Now today we are all in Christ. No one is cursed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But can you see what really, and this was before the law, even before the Ten Commandments, because the story of Noah happened before Moses. So you can see that even before that, a father's curse is powerful. Can you see that? You always having all sufficiency. If I don't preach this, all right, sometimes God gives, sometimes He gives you a bit, be grateful, eh? You know, sometimes you have, sometimes you don't have. All right, is that God's will? Yes, yes, from my own experience, it is true. You cannot preach from your experience, you gotta preach from God's word. What if I don't experience it? It's still God's word. What if people don't get saved? People don't get healed, what, in your healing meeting? Not everyone get healed. It's true, but I rejoice over those who are healed.
Amen.
I don't have all the answers for those who don't, you know what I'm saying? But I still believe that they want to be healed, and I'll keep on preaching healing.
Amen.
Amen. Just like in a Billy Graham meeting, I always use this illustration, even though Billy Graham has gone on. We know he's the greatest evangelist, all right? Besides the Apostle Paul that ever lived. If you go to his meeting, not everyone is saved. That those who are not saved, does it mean it's not God's will because there are people who are not saved who walked out? No. Doesn't change anything. It's their free choice. God gave man free choice. Amen. You always having all sufficiency. That's what I'll preach to you because that's the truth of God's word. All right? In how many things? Having all sufficiency in what? In how many things? In all things. What is all things? Are you? What is the whole thing? Everything. Amen. Everything. In all things. Nothing excluded. Nothing accepted. All is all. Things. Spirit. Spiritual. Earthly. Temporal. Eternal. All things. And look at the result. Look at the result. Sufficiency in all things. All sufficiency in all things. We can stop on this and we celebrate. Yeah. This is enough to last you the whole week, you know. Monday is God is powering up. Just meditate on that. Tuesday, all grace. Grace. Amen? Look at the last part. By the way, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, share this with them. Amen. This verse wasn't in the original. They said we had to wait for it to come out. Because some of you don't bring your Bible. You bring your social media, but you don't bring your Bible. And look at the result, the purpose that God has to supply you full. Only when the cup is full, it can overflow. Meditate on that. It cannot overflow if it's not full. A great man once said this, the value of the cup is its fullness. Another philosophy, he studies philosophy, and the philosopher at that time says, the value of the cup is its emptiness. He says, no. He studied philosophy in Seattle, and he says, I tell you, the fullness of the cup, that's where the glory is. His name is Bruce Lee. Lee Xiaolong. Now, Pastor, why do you quote that? All right. Sometimes, once in a while, he says something that illustrates the Bible. Cannot. Can I? Well, as a young boy, he was my hero. All right. He was my Pokemon. He was my Thomas the Train. Okay. Anyway. That's why the fullness of the cup, that's where he got the idea when he fights, right? What up? You know? Amen. You see? Notice the expression. Right, I learned that when I was young. I even want to borrow my mother's lipstick and put three lines here, you know. Those who watch his show, you understand. Okay, anyway. All right, may have an abundance for every good work. The purpose is that you may have an abundance, a lack, an impoverished state. What? Abundance. Amen. Abundance for what? For every good work. Unless you are full, you cannot overflow. I said, unless you are full, you cannot overflow. You owe it to be full. You owe it to the world to be full yourself so you can overflow. Those who are poor cannot help. Now I'm coming to the poor part, okay? Yes, this part is a poor part, okay? This part is not just about money, but this part illustration is just a poor part. The poor cannot help the poor.
Right.
Amen. Amen? Now, am I telling you that God will make all of us multimillionaires and all that? No, I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what God is really doing. He's powering up all grace towards you. That you always having all sufficiency in how many things? In all things, you may abound to every good work. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder he has put an anointing on this verse. He wants me to preach on it. I'm telling you, is that real in your consciousness right now? If you walk out of here and say, grace is abounding towards me. Grace abounding towards me. I'm telling you, ever since Jesus was manifested, amen, grace, the true grace, the reality of grace came forth. Let me show you this verse. It says in 1 John chapter 1, and of his fullness we've all received and grace for grace. Just let you know that this, his here is our Lord Jesus, of his fullness, out of his fullness, amen, his fullness we have received and grace for grace. And the word for is anti or anti, right? Grace for grace. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Because anti can also be in place of. In place of grace that has been used, another grace comes. When that grace has been used, another grace comes. I was meditating on this many years ago and God gave me this illustration of this wave. Amen? Grace. Once that grace is used, another grace comes. Grace. Upon grace, upon grace. And you know where you are? You know where you are? You are Pastor Matthews, by the way. Can you see Pastor Matthews on there? He looks like Elijah the prophet. Amen. He's contemplating whether to open up the sea or not. Amen. He's contemplating really hard. And I missed the illustration I was going to tell you. Anyway, where you are when the wave was coming in, you know where you are? You are there. Right under it. So one grace is used, comes on you. God doesn't run short. Amen. He's not impoverished. Another grace comes. That's what it means. Of his fullness have we all received and grace for grace. There's a grace for everything.
Amen.
You don't feel it now. You say, I don't think I want to have kids and all that. I see my friends and all that. They cannot go holidays as freely as they want to. I don't want to have kids. Listen, God will give you the grace. What you don't have right now, God will give you the grace. Amen. I don't feel like getting married. God will give you the grace. In every stage of your life, grace will come. Then all of a sudden, after you enjoy that grace, I wish I had kids earlier. I wish I had married. Amen. I wish I had learned about grace earlier. You look back. There'll be grace for every level of your life. Every stage of your life. Are you with me so far? Now watch this. The next verse says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, I always say this one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The law was given, and you can give from a, you all know me. I mean, you all must preach after me, really. The law was given, and given can be what? I give you a message. I can give. You receive it. I give you. But can be from a distance. But grace and truth came. Now this part must step down. One step only. One step. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came. Came is what? Personal. Amen. What is interesting is that ever since I started preaching this, there are people who will try to dispute this. And instead of one side the law and given by Moses, the other side is grace and truth by Jesus Christ, they say that, oh, you see, grace and truth. It's not just grace. It's truth. They divide grace and truth. My friend, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. Grace and truth is on one side. It came through Jesus Christ. All right? Law was given by Moses. The division is not between grace and truth. It's between the law on one side and grace and truth. The law says do, do, do. Grace says done. accomplish. Find out about it, walk in it, flow in it. Even salvation is done. Amen. Learn about it, receive it. Amen. Amen. And that goes for many other blessings. In fact, people who receive and receive are the ones who do so much, like such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Unless you have received, you got nothing to give. That's what abiding means. Except you are abiding in the vine, right? You can do nothing. The branch cannot produce. Worse, if the branch struggle and struggle and struggle, boop, a little grape comes out. I don't even think so. The more you struggle, the sap is squeezed. You relax. You're not the supplier. You're not the source. Jesus is. The more you rest, the more He flows. The supply flows. Am I right? So, the division is that the law says, I will not remember your sins. Sorry, the law says, I'll remember your sins to the third and fourth generation. It means God will visit your sins upon your children's children. That was the law. But down here, grace says, the new covenant of grace, amen, I will not remember your sins anymore. I will no longer remember your sins. And the no longer there, all right, is a very strong word, double negative in the Greek. I will not ever remember your sins anymore. Amen. Are you listening? Their sins I remember no more. Which means what? I'll not remember to visit it, to punish you for it. Wow, there's a change. Am I right? I say there's a change. Under the law, the prodigal son, and there's an illustration there, a prodigal son, when he comes home, all right, if he's really prodigal in his lifestyle and all that, by the time he comes home, he'll be stoned. Under grace, same Jewish people, same laws they were under. Jesus himself shared that the father saw him and the father ran. Maybe one of the reasons the father ran is that other people who are law enforcers will not find the son. And he kissed him. Under the law, God told Moses, who is the giver of the law, right? Take off your shoes. The place you're standing is holy. In the prodigal son story, Jesus said, the father says, put shoes on his feet. He has a right to stand in my presence. He has a right to possess his inheritance. I think there's a change. Are you under this or are you under grace? That's the dichotomy. That is the difference. Not grace and truth. That those who take grace and truth, I'm telling you this because it's getting again very, I mean, like people are sharing, grace and truth must learn grace. Yes, grace is good, but you must have truth. And it's always, truth is always hard, you know. Grace is like the tender side of God. It's like they're saying, God is love, that is grace, yes, yes. God is kind, that is grace, yes, yes. But truth, God judges, God punishes. Now, it is true. It's true. There'll come a time, those who refuse His love, He cannot let them enter heaven. Because heaven is a place, I'm telling you, you got to be born again to be there. And for us to slap God's hand and say, I don't need your son, I don't need, you know, I'm okay, is to believe a lie. So what is grace and truth? It is true grace. It is, the word truth there is not, listen, it's not grace on one side, truth on one side. Don't divide them, they are one. How do I know they are one? Even scholarly, you look at the portion here, the law was given. Given here, singular verb. Correct. One Moses, one man. All right? Moses kicked the ball. Right? Use that verb. Right? No, Moses kicks the ball. Which one? Moses, not past tense. Kick. He's kicking now. Moses kicked the ball. Or Moses kicks the ball. One person kicks. Singular verb. But here, the other side, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ in the Greek, in the original. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ is again singular verb. Now, that means what? It's one. Are you with me so far? If one person kicks, two person kicks. Come on. But you find both are singular verbs. How come? Because grace and truth, instead of saying like our English, grace and truth come, it says grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. That's how the Greek says. It doesn't make sense unless grace and truth are one. And then they always say, yes, there's grace, but you must balance with truth. Let me severe. Amen? Just like your son. You love your son, you be nice to him, and then you discipline him. Right? Yeah, we all know that. That's the truth. But you can apply that there. Grace and truth means it's all supply, all goodness of God released through unmerited favor. It means you don't deserve it, but you receive the supply. I'm going to demonstrate to you, and then we're going to close. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready? Watch this. Now say, chesed ve'emet. Okay. You see, grace and truth. Grace is chesed. Truth is emet. Ve means end, conjunction. Chesed ve'emet. Grace and truth. Okay? Now, this is used a lot in the Old Testament. And every time it's used, it's always good. There's no balancing tenderness with toughness. So what is grace and truth? It's like bread and butter. Or you can say that, you can say like one piece, buttered bread. Buttered bread. You like buttered bread? Yeah. Okay, it's bread and butter. But it's buttered bread. It's one. The word truth there is actually aletheia. Aletheia is actually reality. Grace was there in the Old Testament, but it's like hidden. It's like in a shadow. The laws are all about shadows in the Old Testament. But grace, the reality came when the person came. If you encounter the person, you know what's going to happen to you? You experience grace. Reality. In reality. No more in shadow. Now watch. David, in this story, I'm going to show you this. Say chesed ve'emet. Now you can impress your Jewish friends. Chesed ve'emet. Amen? So, when he says chesed ve'emet, grace and truth, in the English Bible, unfortunately, sometimes they say kindness and truth. Sometimes they say loving kindness and truth. Sometimes they say mercy and truth. But in the original, chesed ve'emet. You check it out in the back. You know, if you use the interlinear Bible, you look at the Hebrew, it's always chesed ve'emet. And every time it's used, watch this. David, at this time, just became king. And he heard about King Saul. He was killed on Mount Gilboa. And then his body was hung unceremoniously by the enemies, the Philistines, on the walls of Bashan. It hung there for a long time, together with Jonathan and all that. And David, of course, heard about this, and David wanted to do something about it. Someone came and said, David, the people of Jabesh Gilead have gone up very bravely, and they brought down the bodies, and they buried the bodies, gave King Saul a decent burial. David was very touched. And this is what David said. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, may you be blessed of the Lord because you have shown this kindness, chesed, to Saul your Lord and have buried him. All right? You have shown this chesed. Notice? You have shown this grace. Right? Then he says this, and now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. Chesed ve'emet. Now, is it something for them to be afraid? Look at the context. When David used this, may God show you chesed ve'emet. Say, oh, just chesed la, don't want emet. No, that means our understanding must be scriptural, people. Chesed ve'emet is not grace, it's good, yeah, grace. But you gotta have truth. Oh, it's something hard. But here is something David's blessing them. May the Lord show you chesed ve'emet. And I will show you this goodness because you have done this thing. Something good. Something good. Are you listening? Yes. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, he had nothing when he left the house. He was afraid that his brother would kill him because in a way he robbed him of the birthright. So he left with nothing, the clothes on his back and a staff. That's all he did. But you know, many years passed. Now he has his 12 sons. All right? Two wives, a few concubines. And he's coming back. God has blessed him. A lot of flock, a lot of cattle. And this is what he said to the Lord. Watch what he said. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord has said to me, return to your country and to your family and I'll deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. in the original chassid, ve'emet. Is this together? Is this something to worry about, to be concerned about, the truth part? It's heavy. No, I'm not worthy of your chassid ve'emet. And what is the result of the chassid ve'emet demonstrated to him, grace and truth demonstrated to him? It resulted in prosperity. Because he goes on to say, I'm not worthy because which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff. I remember years ago, I only had my staff. Now I have become two companies. Amen. Now prosperity in terms of family blessings. So when grace and truth manifest, something good happens to you. When Jesus stepped into Jericho, Bartimaeus was healed. Wherever grace and truth goes, when they hear, don't forget, originally, all these expressions and all that, even John is a Jew. When they write, they use phrases, not according to the Western mind, the Gentile mind, but according to the Hebrew mind. He used grace and truth, of course, charis and aletheia in the Greek, but he would have thought of chassid ve'emet. People, chassid ve'emet has come. And those who know the Bible say, wow, there'll be supply, there'll be healing, there'll be grace, there'll be favor, there'll be a long life. Amen. Look at this, Proverbs 3:3. Proverbs 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Some of you are very quickly. Some of you are very quickly. I know this church. What is that, mercy and truth? Very good. You look in the original, in the Hebrew, it says, chassid ve'emet. Chassid ve'emet. Let not chassid ve'emet forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And now it's the reality, by the way. In a new covenant, God writes mercy and truth on our hearts. Amen? And what's going to happen? Again, something good always happens when mercy and truth comes your way. Pastor, how do I receive it? Expose yourself to Jesus. Grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Every time you come to the Lord in prayer, whatever you're praying for, you don't realize there's an impartation of grace and truth. And when grace and truth is imparted to you, my friend, when you come to church, that happens also in the corporate level. You're coming to Jesus, amen? You're not coming to a man or to a worship leader. Or what? You're coming to Jesus, amen? You're hearing His word. You know what? You leave here different, always different. There's been an impartation of grace and truth. And something manifests in the area of supply, something manifests in the area of healing, supplies and well-being for your family or a harmonious relationship where once there was strife, things happen, good things happen. And here, what's the good thing? You'll find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. Amen. You see, why are we running, trying to find our identity, trying to find people's approval, people's lights? Hey, the Bible says, focus on the Lord. Expose yourself to mercy and truth. Chassid ve'emet. Learn as much as you can about learning true grace. Grace in reality, I'm preaching to you true grace. And in order for you to disrupt people's faith and all that, what must you do? You have to attack the teaching of true grace. Grace and truth is true grace. Like buttered bread. They are one. True grace came by Jesus Christ. No more hidden. Can you see that? Now, one more story and we close. Okay, you ready? Okay, this is Genesis, the servant of Abraham. He's looking for, now all of you who are looking for a life partner, listen carefully. All right, this is what to pray. By the way, it's not just about finding a life partner. Before you go to work, these are things that you need to pray, okay? He was praying. He came to the well where the ladies would come to draw water. The ladies are coming, and he doesn't know which one is the one that God has for his master's son, Isaac. So he prayed, "Oh Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day." It's okay to pray for success. It's okay to pray for success. The Hebrew word here is kara. It's okay to pray, which is chance happening, opportune happening, a good happening. I'm praying for a good happening. Pray this every day. Amen. Pray this before you leave the house. Amen. As you embark on your career, amen. After school, praise the Lord, you're entering a new world. Pray to the Father and say, give me success. Don't let the voices tell you, this is all prosperity and all that.
Abraham's servant, and we are the seeds of Abraham, hallelujah, in Christ. The blessing of Abraham is ours. He prayed, give me success in his area to find the right girl for Isaac. And not only success, show kindness, chesed, grace to my master Abraham. And behold, I stand here, that's where the daughters would come. So finally, and he gave God a sign. He said that, God, the one, it was an extra mile, you know, the one that comes and say, I'll feed you and I'll give drink to you and your camels. You know how many camels he had? And you know how much one camel drinks? And they are there because they are thirsty, right? And she will run back and forth, run back and forth. The Bible literally says she ran back and forth, giving drink to the camels. He gave a sign and she fulfilled the sign compared to all the other girls. But he's still not sure. Is this from the right family? All right, I cannot get one who is an unbeliever. So he asked God and he asked the lady, where are you from? She says, I'm the daughter of Bethuel. That's it. Abraham gave him instruction. Don't get anyone outside our relative, our family circle. Back then, they were married within the believer's tribe. All right? Today also for us. Amen. We marry within the believer's tribe. Praise the Lord. That's where the blessing is for us. Now watch this. When the servant heard that God has guided his step, this is what he said. This is the first occurrence of Hesed Ve'emet, just like you know, and I'll close. He said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his, come on church, his mercy and his truth towards my master. Chesed ve'emet. As for me, being on the way, I don't know who, but I was just walking my way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now, here, he knew that his path was prospering. There was success. There was grace. I'm about to step down again. There was grace. Amen? So, we know that every time Chesed ve'emet appears, it prospers your way. Chesed ve'emet appears, you are successful. Chesed ve'emet appears, you receive healing. Just like the blind man of Jericho, Jesus went into Jericho, the city of the curse, and his name was Bartimaeus, son of the unclean, literally, son of the unclean. Amen. And Jericho was destroyed by Joshua. And Joshua pronounced a curse on anyone who builds Jericho again. And his son will be killed. The curse says his son will be killed. He will bury. When he built the foundation, his firstborn will die. When he built the gate, his secondborn will die. And the fact that this Bartimaeus was at the door, and his name was son of Timaeus. He has no name. He's a blind beggar. That means something happened. His father most likely rebuilt Jericho. He's a man under the curse. But when grace and truth came, and the cry, only one cry, Bar David, Yeshua, Bar David, Haneni. Haneni means what? Grace. Show me grace. Hanan. It's like grace, chesed, and favor. Hanan. Yohanan, John. Haneni, have mercy on me. It's not mercy. It's show grace to me. Once upon a time, in the Old Testament, Jericho, there was a shout where all the mighty men shouted. Joshua said, shout. He wanted a mighty man to shout. But Jesus stopped still, not at mighty men's shout, but a blind beggar with no name. They call him Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. Son of Timaeus. Timaeus means unclean. Jesus stopped. Once upon a time, Joshua spoke to the son. He said, son, stand still. And the son stood still. Here, a blind beggar shouted, and the son of God who stopped the son stood still. He said, command him to come. And he came. He came to who? Grace and truth. What happened to him? His eyes was open. He threw away his garment. That means no more beggar. They have the beggar. It's like you wear a beggar clothes so that it's official beggaring, official work that the government recognizes. He threw it away. I'm no more a beggar. Grace and truth have come into my life. Are you listening, people? You cannot be the same. When you expose yourself to Jesus, every curse in your life is destroyed. Every lack goes. Every blindness goes. Amen. You are healed. Then Jesus said something very beautiful. Go your way. Your faith has healed you. You know what he did? He followed Jesus in the way. You tell me to go my way from now on is your way. I pray that's true for all of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give praise to the Chesed Ve'emet, our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to release you right now. Are you all blessed?
Yes.
We speak Chesed Ve'emet over you. Amen. If you are here and you have never received grace and truth, grace means unearned, undeserved favor. If it comes into your life, doesn't really matter. You are a blind beggar, undeserving. In fact, the more undeserving you are, listen, listen carefully. The true ark that was surrounding Jericho years ago under Joshua, now the shadow ark, around Jericho under Joshua. It came to Jericho, but it came to destroy. Amen? If the people will not surrender. But now the true ark has come to Jericho. And the true ark brought healing and supply to the least inhabitant, least deserving. A blind beggar with no name, no identity. So here, listen. If grace is unearned, undeserved favor, the more we are trying to qualify ourselves, the more we try to make ourselves something that we are not before God, we fall from grace. Come as you are. Grace will change you, but you gotta come as you are. You gotta know that you don't deserve it. You gotta be like Jacob and say, I'm not worthy of the least of the Chesed Ve'emet. And then Chesed Ve'emet will explode in your life. Amen? So if that's you, you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, friend, Christ died for your sins and He rose from the dead for your justification. You know by chance, you think by chance that you are here or listening to this message. But my friend, I know it cost you to hear this gospel. Pray this prayer right now. Pray this prayer with me and grace and truth will come into your life. True grace will come into your life. Pray this. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I thank you. Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead when I was justified. Thank you, Father. You are now my Father. I am your Son forevermore. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, church. Can you leave this place with the consciousness grace is abounding towards me? Amen. Listen, God doesn't say it's only spiritual. It will manifest physical. Okay? Amen. When grace abounds in Jericho, it manifested in the physical healing. Okay? Lift your hands all across this place this coming week. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may each and every one of you, your loved ones, your family members, experience His Chesed Ve'emet, the reality of grace in your life, in every area. And when it happens, give thanks. Glorify Him. Take note of it. Something good, many good things is going to happen. I'm saying this by the Spirit right now, especially this week. Amen. When it happens, take note of it and give thanks. Give thanks. I'm speaking prophetically for every service. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. I'm speaking prophetically as well for Grace Revolution Church. Listen, it is going to happen this week. Many good things. And when it happens, tell yourself, this is Chesed Ve'emet. This is grace and truth manifesting. Hallelujah. And give Jesus the praise and the glory. Amen. I release it upon you in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. God bless you. I'll see you again.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Have you ever experienced disappointment, regret, or an unexpected loss? Let the Lord bring 120% restoration into your life today. Available for a limited time only, we want to send you Joseph's audio series, God's Plan for Your Restoration, to encourage you. Watch the Lord turn your situation of defeat into victory. Receive your copy for a gift of any amount in support of the ministry. Order today and you'll also receive a bonus sermon on God's promises of protection in these perilous times. And for a gift of $75 or more, we'll also send you Joseph's teaching series, Inherit God's Best, Don't Settle for Less. When you get this time-limited offer, know that your giving is directly helping us to make Joseph's programs and teaching resources freely available to those who need to hear it most. So thank you for being a part of bringing the gospel of grace to as many people as we possibly can. To get this resource, visit us at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-901-4300.
If you are watching this and are battling discouragement, anxiety, or depression, I want to pray for you right now. Would you put your hand on your heart as I pray for you? Father in heaven, I pray for the hearts that are anxious and fearful, and for the hearts that have been hurt deeply. Touch and heal them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Release into these precious hearts and minds a vision of hope and a positive expectation of good in their future. I command the spirit of discouragement, the spirit of depression, and the spirit of fear to leave God's people right now in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, pour into every heart a tangible sense of God's love. Be thou their wonderful peace and shalom well-being, guarding their hearts in every storm, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now just thank the Lord and know that He's always with you to help you. I encourage you to keep tuning in to our broadcast to hear how much the Lord loves you. And you can watch our program online at josephprince.tv. It is a great platform to consume the gospel and strengthen your heart with the promises of God daily. And with josephprince.tv, you can watch our broadcast on all your devices 24/7. Sign up for an account today and we'll send you an encouraging teaching resource as my gift to you. God bless you.
Help us proclaim the life-changing gospel of grace far and wide. Join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. You can make a real difference in the lives of many today. Visit josephprince.org or call 877-901-4300 to find out more. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.